pray this, God. Like I said, continue to pray for the crusade team, but my dad's dealing with some very serious back issues this week. And it's one of these things, you know, if you've had back issues, you understand, but he seems to not get a lot of relief. Usually when I sat down, I would get some more relief, but sitting down is better than laying down. So when he lays down, you know, it hurts. And so I know this morning he ministered and it was good, but I do know, nobody else knows this, but right before he went up on stage, he asked me to lay hands on him and pray for him. So I know that he didn't let on how bad he was probably hurting. And, you know, that's how my dad really is. But, you know, continue to pray for him. You know, it hurts to hurt. Amen. Yes. Amen. You know, and we are in faith. We all believe. But you know, he's going doing what he's endeavored to do. And, you know, and so he's there and doing ministry. And, you know, it's not always easy. You know, it's kind of like, you know, a ball player playing hurt. I mean, sometimes, you know, some of the worst things, now, especially for a minister, one of the worst things actually is when your voice goes out, you know, because if you can't talk and you can't do anything. So, you know, with the back, usually you can sit down a little bit and make it a little easier. All right. I wasn't supposed to minister on Wednesday night at their local, there in Tulsa. So I actually preached the sermon I'm supposed to preach tonight, but we're going to preach it tonight anyway, because it's good. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 11, verse number 24, one of the keynote scriptures here of our ministry. And, you know, basically today we're going to talk about you, all right? The Bible has a lot to say about you. In fact, the Bible was written for you. It's for you to take authority. It's what rights have been given to you. But it really is all about you. And actually, I was the other day just thinking, praying, and probably complaining, if you want to know the truth of the matter, about some things going on in my life, and the Lord just reminded me of, you know, just believing, just trusting in Him. And so Mark 11, 24 says this from the New King James, says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." So this verse talks about you quite a bit. You know, because in fact, it first starts out and says, "Therefore I say to you," that's Jesus talking to you. And remember, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still the same as he was there in the New Testament, giving instructions to you. All right, but he says that you need to do something. Now, I actually like what it says in the King James Version, so I'm going to go to the King James. Number one, that's the way I learned. Most of you probably are the same way. You learned it in the King James. I'll take the ye's out so it maybe sounds a little easier, all right? It says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." And what I want to point to is the word desire. Now, see, the New King James says ask. The King James says desire. And I think that there's something about that word desire. When you desire something, you do something about it. If you desire a certain outcome, you work to achieve it. In fact, you know, some of you maybe like us, we've been watching college basketball, and Duke just got beat right before I walked out here. I'm really happy about that. Not that I'm not a Duke fan. It's just everybody else would pick Duke to win the whole thing, and so I like the Cinderella to win. So, you know, I'm pretty happy Michigan State beat Duke by 2, right, at the last minute. And a lot of games have been really good, but there were a couple of teams in the Final Four that weren't supposed to be there, but they desired to get there. And they played harder than they're supposed to on paper. You know, on paper, you know, they weren't the best team. Well, in fact, today Auburn actually won. They went to the Final Four, they beat Kentucky, and their best player got hurt the last game. So without their best player, I mean, even me, I'm like, how are they going to do this? Desire. Desire will enable you to do things that you can't think you cannot do. But desire keeps things also in front of you. I know my grandfather, this is actually the scripture that got my grandfather off the deathbed. And whenever he was 16 years of age, he was partially paralyzed and given up to die. He had a deformed heart and a blood disease. And the doctors told him if his heart was normal, the blood disease alone would kill him. And so he was expected to die. And He, you know, at that time, you know, my grandfather is, you know, if you read the Wikipedia, it says he's the father of the modern day faith movement. But really what happened is he got a hold of Mark 11, 23 and 24. That's really what happened. As a 16, 17 year old kid, I mean, you know, he wasn't, he never read really any books on faith. He went to church, he said, usually about twice a year, Easter and Christmas. Maybe a couple times he might have, you know, slipped in a couple more times, but pretty much twice a year, like a lot of Christians do. You know, I mean, he was a marginal, barely get along, you know, just, you know, barely there. In fact, he had never accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. He just, you know, went to church. You know, sleeping in your garage does not make you a car. You know, so coming to church does not make you a Christian. But anyway, he took his Bible out, and he was partially paralyzed, so he can only actually use one of his hands, and he said it took him forever to even turn the page, but he looked at the Bible, he saw Old Testament, New Testament, he figured, you know what, I might not make it through the Old, so let me start with the New. I mean, you know, he said, well, you know, if it's new, it's probably better. He hadn't had any teaching, really, but he just started with the New Testament, and he started reading, and he read Mark chapter 1, chapter 2, and so on. Sorry, he started actually Matthew chapter 1 and went all the way through Matthew, then started Mark, went all the way through Mark till he got to here Mark chapter 11. And this is the scripture actually that really hit him, because he was reading from the King James. You know, back then, pretty much everyone read from the King James, you know. You know, in fact, one of our teachers at Rhema, I don't think it says it anymore, but he used to always say, you know, if the King James was good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me. Now, obviously, that's a joke because Paul did not read from the King James. But, you know, but the sad part about it, most students now don't even know that. They don't realize that the King James came way after Paul. You know, but, you know, so anyway, he was big on the King James and what started modern translations. But he got this verse, and it says, you know, Jesus talking, it says, therefore, I say to you, what things soever you desire. And he told Jesus, he said, you know, this is, because he realized this was red letters, and he realized it was Jesus talking, so he decided to talk back to Jesus. He said, Jesus, if you were standing here talking to me, and you told me that I did not desire a well body, I'd have to call you a liar, because I desire a well body more than any other thing in the whole world. He desired a well body. See, it was that word desire that changed his life. Because when you desire something, you go for it. You do whatever it takes. You know I used to do youth ministry, and it's interesting now, and actually they even come up with more. These sneaker companies come out with new shoes like all the time. And used to it was like once or twice a quarter. Now it's almost every week they come up with some new sneaker. And I would see these kids that, you know, they would desire a new sneaker. And, you know, these kids, I mean, some of them, they're lazy, wouldn't do anything. Next thing you know, they're mowing people's lawn, they're doing all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, man, what got into you? He goes, well, the new Air Jordan came out, or the new this came out, and I wanted to buy it, so I'm trying to find a way to make money. See, you know, whenever he desired these sneakers, he was going to do something that out of his character just to get it. You know, and, you know, I say when you desire something, you know, maybe short of stealing it, I mean, you'll do whatever it takes. And there are some people I know that will even steal it. You know, if that's what, you know, not people who are here at church here, but I know some people that, you know, when they desire something, that they reach for it. So he said, you know, Jesus, if you were here in front of me and you told me I did not desire a well body, I'd have to call you a liar. Now, I know you're not a liar, but I have to call you a liar because you would be a liar because I know what I desire. And see, he got a hold of the scripture. So, you know, so he began to pray. He desired it. He prayed. He began to, he asked God, you know, and after he prayed, you know, because the end of the verse it says, you shall, you know, says you receive them and you shall have them. So he, as he's in the conversation with the Lord, I don't know how long the conversation lasted, but he said, maybe it was over days whenever he was kept looking at this verse. But I know at one point in time, the Lord told him, well, you know, what time is it? My grandfather looked at his watch and it was about 10 a.m. And so he said, well, what do well people do at 10 a.m. in the morning? My grandfather says, they get up. They get ready. They go to breakfast or whatever. Most people are probably already at work by 10 a.m., you know, but you know, they're up at least at 10. So the Lord told my grandfather, well, do what well people do. And he got up. I mean, you know, he scrunched down and went to the. They had a big, you know, he had one of those beds that had, you know, they have bedposts. They have, like, at the foot of the bed, there was a big post. And he grabbed a hold of that post and he kind of slid, you know, got his feet on the floor and was holding on to this bedpost. Just standing there. And it said, as soon as he began to stand there, all of a sudden, he said, from the top of his head, something kind of hit him. And he said it oozed down his body. And it kind of felt like honey. You know how honey oozes, you know. It was like oozing down his body. And he says, if it wouldn't have felt so good, it would have hurt so bad. Because basically what was happening, his nerve endings were coming back to life. And he began to feel. You know, and he says, it's, you know, when you haven't been able to feel anything for a long time, it felt good to feel, even though my feeling was pain. Because, and if you ever had nerve pain, you felt that, or if you ever, you know, whenever you say you hit your funny bone or whatever, you know how kind of this, well, that's probably how it was just like pins and needles down his whole body, you know, and he says that, you know, that basically life was coming back into him. And so then he got dressed. Now you understand, you know, the rest of the family don't know anything about what's going on. They think he's in there resting like, you know, like he's supposed to. He got ready, and I guess as his family was eating breakfast at the breakfast table, so he walked to the breakfast table and sat down. Well, everybody thought he was crazy. You know, and now here's something else that you have to realize is not only did he say, you know, obviously that was a sheer act of faith, a sheer act of him showing his desire to be well, but, you know, even his own family says, well, you don't look any better. You feel okay? You know, and he says he passed up marvelous opportunities to go back to that bed, to be bedfast again. Even his teachers, he said, you know, say, well, Kenneth, you might want to go back home. And even his doctors, you know, said, I don't even know how this boy's doing it. But so he was showing his desire. See, it's one thing to have desire, another thing to show your desire. See, a lot of times we want something, but do we really desire it? Are we really doing what we need to do to take a hold of it? My grandfather says a lot of times, he says, do what you couldn't do before. Well, how am I going to do that? Trust in the Lord. You know, and so he began to walk it out and said the more he went, the better he got. Now, at first, he wasn't able to do a whole lot. You know, then he would get tired and, you know, weak, because his body's weak. He'd been laying there for a long time, you know. But, you know, the next day he would do more. The next day he would do more until it got to the point where he can go back to school. You know, but even when he's in school, I mean, said, you know, people thought he was like a walking skeleton because he lost a lot of weight. And, you know, he wasn't healthy. You understand that at that time, the doctors didn't have all the medical stuff they have now, so it was hard to even know, did he really get healed, or is he just, what's happening? They know he wasn't paralyzed anymore, but I mean, just because you're not paralyzed, you still have the blood disease, do you still, you know, have the deformed heart? I mean, all this stuff, you know, so, you know, but he kept going, and he kept going, and he kept going. You know, but the interesting part about it is that I always think about this. This is one man who read the Bible. And he changed the generation after he got a hold of the Bible. What if more people would read the Bible? And not just, you know, not just reading the Bible. It's one thing to, and I always pray about being a doer of God's word, because a lot of times we know what the word says. In fact, if we were to have a Bible quiz, people, you know, they would know all the scriptures. But are you acting on that? Do you really look like, because, you know, like you said, there was many times I didn't feel like what my desire was like on the inside. On the outside, I didn't feel like getting up. But on the inside, I had a desire to be like a normal person. You know, I had a desire. You know, I know, even with my kidney issues, I know, you know, there's some points in times I'm like, man, I just would like to feel normal. You know, whatever normal might feel, I mean, because, you know, there's times that, I mean, I get up and feel dizzy. I get up, you know, because I didn't have protein, you know, that was going through my body like it should. And it was like, I'd be weak and stuff. And it's no fun, but I just want to feel normal, you know? But I kept getting up even when I didn't feel normal. I kept doing as much as I could do. My doctors, you know, warned me about not doing too much, and still they're concerned about me doing too much. Probably done more than they probably want me to do. But you know, you just got to get up. At some point in time, you have to decide. You understand? This is about you doing something. Do you realize in this scripture has nothing to do about your pastor? Your pastor is not in the scripture anywhere. It doesn't say when you go to your pastor and when you have your pastor pray that if you believe that if your pastor prays good enough, that you will receive something. Doesn't say that. Now, it also doesn't say anything about giving here. It doesn't say if you give enough and if you believe that you gave enough, that you know, God's going to meet your need because you were a big giver. Now, you understand, the Bible does say that God loves a cheerful giver. He loves us to be a giver. And the Bible does talk about sowing and reaping. It's talking about, you know, reaping benefits, but it doesn't say that we have to give to be healed. Now, I understand that you might be watching Christian television and they tell you something different, but they're a bunch of liars. And I'll tell that to their face. I mean, but the other day I don't watch a lot of Christian TV. It's not because I don't like Christian people. It says I don't like weirdos that tell me, I shouldn't say they're weirdos. I don't like people that misrepresent the Bible. You know, and so we were at a hotel, me and another guy. We were actually with my son. He was at a national championship basketball tournament that he's playing for his league, and we had happened to have the, you know, TV on, a Christian television station, and we left, and you know, like a lot of times, we didn't turn the TV off. We came back, and this guy was on, and this is what he said. I'm just going to quote what he said, because he said, you know what? If you'll go get to the phone, if you'll give today, your son or your daughter will get saved. The one you've been praying for a long time. If you'll give your very best offering. You know, and that's manipulation. And he said it over and over again. And he said, well, you know, the Bible says, believe the prophet, you know, the prophets, and you'll prosper. Yeah. And so he called himself a prophet. And then he said, you're a prosper. I said he was a liar. Anyone wasn't really a prophet. I probably should have called him on the phone, tell me, but he wouldn't have answered anyway, so it wouldn't have really mattered. The point is, I can only take it so much. I finally turned it off. I said, you know, it's sad I have to turn Christian TV off. You know, but... You know, the thing is, it's called manipulation. Yeah. All right, you know, and God does want that person to get saved, but giving, you know, is not going to save somebody. All right, now if you want to give because you want to help this TV station continue, or you want to help this ministry continue, that's fine. I don't have an issue with that. But you know, the Bible says nothing about giving and being healed, or giving in this and giving in that. It says, you know, first of all, you have to desire it. All right? And going back to the Old Testament over in Psalms, actually. Psalms 37 talks about desiring. The Psalm of David, Psalms 37, 4 and 5. David says this, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. He goes on to say, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So you know what? It says if you trust God, he'll bring your desires to pass. Now, what I want to tell you is I've heard people even tell me, well, Craig, you cannot believe for that because, you know, that's not something you need. It's something that you want. But the Bible says we can have the desires of our heart. Now, in the situation where my grandfather, obviously, not only did he need it, he wanted it. All right, but there are times that there might be something you want that you don't need. Now, I'm not saying it's not nice to have, but you know what? Your God wants you to have nice stuff. But you know what? If you want something nice, you've got to ask for it yourself. And it starts with a desire. Now, you know, a lot of people, this is what they do. There's something they want, and one day they'll decide, you know what? I'm going to believe God for it. And they do, and that's great. And then when it doesn't happen after a month or so, then they totally forget because they can live a life without it. And they just go on. You know, and that's fine too. But, you know, if you really desire it, you'll keep on. And you'll keep on. And you'll keep on. And you'll keep on. And you'll keep on. You know, because that's what you do. actually, if I got one of my books out there, I talk about some golf clubs that I wanted. All right, and it's in my book, The Power of God. And actually, I was in my grandfather's meeting and talking about faith and talking about, you know, just believing. And you know what? And so I actually decided, hey, why don't I believe God for these golf clubs? Because I understood that my wife didn't want to take, I kind of went and bought them. I actually had the money to buy them, but my wife didn't want me to take our finances to go buy those clubs. So I decided, well, you know what? If I desire something, he was reading the scripture about desiring. And I said, you know what? I desire these new golf clubs. It's going to help my golf game? Probably not. Lessons might help better than clubs. But there was a new club out, and I really wanted it. And I actually, in the hotel room, because I went back to the hotel room, I said a prayer. I believed. And then you know what? Man, I was dead set. I'm getting these new golf clubs. I told all these people. I'm getting some new golf clubs. Really? What are you going to get? I told them exactly what I'm going to get. They're like, what are you going to get? I don't know. I told God, I said, you know what? I don't care how the money comes in. I don't care if someone comes and says, you want to buy some golf clubs? Let's go to the store. I don't care, you know, if you get one of these Pentecostal handshakes, they call it. You know what? I said, anytime any money comes in to me, I'm going to consider that that's for my golf clubs, and I'm going to put that on there. And I tell you, it was amazing in a short amount of time. And I know it was God showing me how good he is. Because now here's the thing. I did not need these golf clubs. All right. In fact, I'm going to be honest with you. Once I got them, it did not help my golf game. It was nice. But anyway, this is the story. Now I only asked God for the iron. If you know anything about golf, you have irons and you have what we call woods. They're not even woods anymore, but they're metal woods, which makes no sense. But anyway, then you have a putter and you have a bag, you have shoes, you have that kind of stuff. So you have to understand the metal woods are quite expensive at that time, back in the 90s, they were a lot cheaper than they are now, but they still were a couple $100, for each one, and usually have like three. So, but I didn't ask God for that. I only asked God for my irons, all right? And I actually only asked God for they have steel shafts, and they also have graphite shafts. Graphite shafts are more expensive, and I didn't actually go with the graphite. I asked God just for the steel shafts. I didn't really need that much money. But so it was just interesting because a few weeks later, after I asked the Lord, I was at a convention and they had a putting contest, and I actually had five putts. They gave me because of the way I got five putts. It was like a 40-foot putt to make it. And they can have multiple winners, but if you can sink the 40-foot putt, it was $500 cash. I sunk my first putt. But before I took my putt, I actually told them about it. I've been believing God for some new golf clubs. If I hit this putt, I'm gonna that's what I'm gonna put the money on. So I had five chances because based upon the way it was and the way this thing was, I got five chances. So I took my first one, I hit it. I'm their first customer of the whole week. All right, they had done the odds and they said that one, maybe two people will hit the 40-foot putt. So most are probably about $1,000. That the company whatever. So trying to figure out. So I hit my first putt. I had four more putts left, and so I asked if the other guy was my friend could take the other four putts. He goes, sure, we don't care who takes the putts. In fact, because they saw me hit the putt, they're thinking, well, I might hit all five of them. Because we asked him beforehand. So do I get to keep trying? Yeah, you get to keep trying. So I went, I won $500. Cash money. That's pretty awesome, right? All right, so, but now here, he's up. All right, so he goes, his first putt doesn't go in, second putt doesn't go in, the third putt, he sinks the third putt. $500 cash money. So he goes to tell the guys, he said, you know what? I'm fixing to go to the mission field. And I'm going to put that $500, toward me moving the mission field. But we still have one more putt. So I'm like, well, I'll take the last part. So I said, no, you're right. We can still get meal. So now they're freaking out. We're their first customer ever. We got five putts. Anyway, I took the last putt and missed the last putt. So, you know, we were there all week long. All week long, they kept on pointing to us. Now, the interesting part about it, after we hit our putts, they changed the rules. So it was store credit and not cash money. Nobody else hit the putt the other 4 days that we were there. That was on Monday. They were there till Friday. Nobody else hit the putt, just us two. Now, you know, I'm excited because, you know, that $500 was almost, I don't think I only needed like $700, you know, and it was just, I was amazed, you know, but it was interesting. I hit the first putt. It wasn't like I had to take three to make it, you know, and I'm not a bad putter, but you have to understand this was like two pieces of like, you know, putting green stuff taped together on an uneven little thing. You know, they just put it, we were at a convention center. It wasn't like it was, you know, all set up and all really nice or whatever. And so, in fact, later on that week said, hey, come take a few more putts. I just want to see for me. They wanted to see if I'd make it just, you know, I didn't have to pay any, you know, money or anything. But I was excited. But, you know, that wasn't enough. But, you know, here's the thing is every day from the time I prayed, I would thank God multiple times a day. Thank you, Father, for my new golf clubs. You know, actually at that time I was playing more golf. And so every golf swing, if you play golf with me, that's a lot. I would thank God every time I swing a club, I would thank God for my new golf clubs after I swung, especially when I hit a bad shot. So the moral of the story is that a few weeks later, I went and told some people my testimony. A few weeks later was my birthday. And man, people who still from that day to this have never gave me a birthday present, gave me money for my birthday that year. I mean, there are people, and I know who they are. I mean, you know, not like I'm keeping tabs or whatever, but I'm like, you know, it's for whatever reason that year, they decided to bless me for my birthday. And it wasn't like, you know, I don't remember what year, but it wasn't like, you know, year 30th or 40th. It wasn't like a big, you know, it was just a normal whatever. I mean, you know, I don't know, probably was like 33 or something. I mean, it wasn't anything, you know, where as well as one of these birthdays, you know, milestone. That's a good thing, man. But so what I want to let you know is, after my birthday and after, you know, about a week or so after that, not only did I buy my golf clubs, I was able to buy the graphite shafts. I was able to buy three new woods. I bought a brand new golf bag. And I had enough money to also buy a brand new set of golf shoes and then some tees and some golf balls. More than enough. Now, see, I just desired just a set of irons. But I did desire them. And I would, you know, I mean, every day I would think, anyway, especially as money started coming in, I would thank God for, you know, for what he's given me so far, but also remind him I didn't have. Then I got to a point where I had more than enough, you know, and I was too busy to be able to go, you know, buy the stuff. And as I got too busy, more people started busting me. I mean, you know, it was awesome. But, you know, why can't it be that awesome for you? I mean, you know, but it all starts with a desire. We have to, first of all, desire something. You know, and I know it's silly. It's golf clubs. Not only were they golf clubs, I actually had them fitted, which cost a little more money, and it had them specially designed to match my swing and all kinds of. In fact, that's one reason I got the graphite ones, because they suggested I do the. I think it was probably a mistake. I should have kept up with the steel ones. But anyway, I got them. I was so excited. I'm still excited. I don't have those golf clubs anymore. I'm still excited. But you know what? I blessed somebody with them after I got something new. I blessed somebody else with them. I said, you know, I didn't cost me nothing. Why should I sell them on eBay? I want to be a blessing. You know, in fact, let me just tell you another story about blessing somebody with something. I blessed somebody with a pair of Air Jordans, you know, remember, you know, from basketball shoes. They were the version number two, and they're sitting in my closet for I don't know how long, but I didn't play basketball that much, so they're in real good shape. And someone saw them and said, can I have those? So he kept, I had them I don't know how many years. He had them I don't know how many years, you know, and then they were still sitting in his closet. So just like 2 years ago, he looked on eBay, and so I, you know, found out he sold them for $700. After I don't know how many, 20 years later or whatever it was, and we both used them playing basketball. He still got $700 from him. You know, I didn't even get a tithe. I didn't even get $70 from the, you know, whatever. It just didn't really matter. I didn't really care. I actually thought it was funny, you know. But I'm like, man, I should have sold them on eBay before giving them to you. No, I'm just kidding. You know, but man, if we desire something, I mean, it can happen. Now, you understand, you know, the thing is, your faith is in God. You're not making anything happen. You believe in God. Right. And that's a different thing. You're putting your faith in God. Because a lot of people will say, well, how is that going to happen? I don't know how it's going to happen. Trust in the Lord. All right, or like it says, trust the Lord always and lean not on your own understanding. I mean, just trust God. The Bible says, Luke 18:27, the things that are impossible to man are possible with God. With God, all things are possible. All things are possible. So, but it's saying that you need to do something. You have to pray. You have to, well, first of all, you have to start, you desire. You know, I'll go back to the King James. Therefore, what thing, everything you desire when you pray. So you, once you desire it, then you pray for it. Then you believe that it, that you're going to receive it and you shall have it. Why are you going to have it? Because you believe God. You trusted in God. Now, interesting part about it, my grandfather always points this out, is that the Bible actually says that you have it when you pray, not you have it when you have it. See, a lot of people are waiting to have it. They're like, well, I'll believe it when I see it. No, no, you'll have it when you see it. But faith is having it before you see it. Faith is having it now. Now faith is. It's having immediate. But why can you have it? Because first of all, you desired it. Secondly, you ask for it. And you believe. So you believe. Now, what do you believe in? You believe that your God is able. You don't have to believe that you're able to do anything. But, you know, I notice in here, it says nothing about that you're going to get a raise at your job to meet your needs. It says nothing about your job. Because I've heard people say, well, you know, if I could just get a raise, if I could just get a better job, if I could, you know what? So you're putting your trust in your job when you can put your trust in God. That's what it says on your money anyway. In God we trust. So who do you trust? Do you trust God or you trust your job? No, I'm not saying that God cannot give you a raise. I'm not saying that you can't get a better job. I'm just saying that it doesn't have to meet your needs. I didn't get a better job or a raise, and I got some new golf clubs. You know, and it just happened to be my birthday, and people happened to remember. But you know what? I believe if it wasn't my birthday, people still would have blessed me. Because like I said, there's some people who blessed me that year who don't normally bless me for my birthday. And I usually see them almost every year around my birthday. Now, I know certain people that every year, you know, they give me $100 or whatever for my birthday. Kind of a normal thing. You know, and those people did bless me that year too. But I know countless amount of people who I didn't get a dime from that day to this. So it has happened to be my birthday. It probably was the Lord was leading to their heart that they should be a blessing to me. And they think, well, maybe God wants to give them a birthday present, you know. But you know what? It doesn't have to be your birthday to be blessed. Then it doesn't really matter. What you have to do is you have to put your trust in God. You put your trust in God, not in the... Now, you can have the pastor pray with you and agree with you, but you don't put your trust in the pastor or your family or whatever. You put your trust in your God. We're asking God to bless us. And if you don't believe that God can, then what do you believe? Not only can, he will. And he has, I mean, you know, and understand that at 16 years of age, my grandfather wasn't some great preacher. He was just a kid. Just like any other kid. You know, I mean, you know, he knew nothing about faith. And I think that's probably one of the reasons. But, you know, see, here's the thing. Because we know so much, you know, the more we're educated, the harder it is for us to believe. Because we're thinking, well, how is that going to happen? That doesn't make sense. And that's why, you know, I found out you go over to Africa, or you go to India, you go to places where people are not as educated. I'm not making fun of them, just being honest. That, you know, it's easier for them. They're like, okay, I'll believe. You know, you go to the Western world, or, you know, the places where people are educated, they're like, they're trying to figure out, oh man, how is this going to happen? How am I going to do this? Because see, they're thinking about how are they going to do it instead of about how is God going to do it. I don't care how God does it. And that was the situation I was thinking about. You know, there's some things in my own mind, you know, from a financial standpoint, you know, how we're going to make this work. And, you know, and the Lord reminded me, first of all, you got to desire it. Got to keep it in front of you all the time. Then you got to ask. And then you got to just simply believe. You know, and sometimes it's really, you know, it's really irritating because you're looking at your bank account, and, you know, and I know there was a situation that I was saving some money for some stuff, and then, man, it just seems that all hell's been breaking loose, you know, and I've had to pay bills I never thought I'm going to have to pay, and all these things. I'm like, but I had already saved a couple thousand dollars for this, what I needed, you know, and I'm frustrated. But you know what? God still knows my needs. And even though my savings account has been kind of wiped out, he still knows I still have this need and I still have this desire, and he's going to bless me. In spite of my issues, in spite of my family's issues, in spite of, you know, whatever, you know, it doesn't really matter, because it comes down to, we preach it all the time, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come, Jesus says, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And abundant life is having more than enough, not just enough. And so, you know, I've been believing God for more than enough, not just what I need, not just what I need to meet my situation, the financial situation, not just what I need to meet these bills, but need these bills and have more than enough. Amen. You know, because it's frustrating. Somebody's living paycheck to paycheck. You know, and, you know, and you think you're getting, like I said, you think you get ahead a little bit, and all of a sudden, boom, something else happens. It's called kids. You know, kids have things, kids have, you know, and kids have things happen to them, and you want to be a blessing to them because you feel bad, and then you bless them, but, you know, but thank God I had the wherewithal in my savings account to at least help them out. But now it wiped them out, and then, you know, it's just one of those deals. But, you know, instead of getting frustrated, I just thank God. Thank God that God loves me. Thank God that God's meeting my needs. Thank God that not only that he has the wherewithal, he wants to meet my needs, because we pray about being God's favorite. I know I'm God's favorite. Now, I know you're God's favorite too, because there is no favorites. You know, we all pray about the favor of God. You know, and a parent shouldn't have favorites. Some parents do, unfortunately. You know, but parents shouldn't have favorites. But you know what? It's interesting because, you know, my kids are all different. There's things that I like to do with one of my children, but the other child doesn't like to do, and I like to do other things. You know, so you know, I have favorite things I like to do with each child, you know, but then, I mean, they're my favorites. Now, my grandmother, my mom's mom, flat out told me that I was her favorite, you know, favorite grandchild. And so, but I already knew that by the way she treated me. So it was like, you know, and my sister did too, and she didn't like that a whole lot. But you know, what are you going to do? I mean, you know, I wasn't the oldest grandchild. I just happened to be the favorite one, probably because I was the smartest one, you know. And I'm not trying to brag. I just, you know, and I was probably, you know what, the real deal, I was probably more like her than a lot of people, or, you know, and that was, she, you know, she'd tell me all the time, yeah, Craig, you know, you're my favorite, and things like that. So I probably was my grandfather's favorite too, you know, my grandfather Hagen, you know, but he never told anybody that. But my dad always said, you know, you're his favorite. But he loved us all. We love all our kids. But the thing about God says he's no respecter of persons. We're all his favorite. I mean, you know, and he will meet our need. You know, and it doesn't say that there'll be some one particular person that's going to help us. Because see, what happens is a lot of times when someone blesses us financially, we kind of think next time that person's going to bless us financially again. But you know what? God has another 7 billion plus people to help you out. You might have somebody that's your Facebook friend that lives in India, where you think, well, they don't have any money over there, and he might be a billionaire or something. You never know. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying, you know what? I don't put anything past God. Yes. I know my wife, actually, before we were married, she was going through a tough time, and some lady that she didn't even know that lived out in California sent her $5,000 through her mom, and she didn't even know basically, what happened was, is this lady was praying, and the Lord told her, her mom's name is Sandy, to send Sandy's oldest daughter. She didn't even know her name. $5,000. She lived in California. My wife lived in Tulsa. She was praying, and so some person that she's never met, she didn't even know their name, sent her $5,000. And God has no respect for persons. It doesn't matter what your need is. It doesn't matter, who you know or who you don't know. What matters is that God loves you. What matters is that first of all, you have to desire. Second of all, you have to ask. Thirdly, you have to believe. And then the next thing, you know what? You have to have. You get to have it. Now the thing is, when I say have it, I don't mean actually have it. First of all, you have to have it by faith before you really have it. Because if you can't have it by faith, you'll never get it. And we've said this over and over again, but according to Webster's New World Dictionary, faith is an unquestioning belief. That means if you ever say, well, God, when's it going to happen? That's a when's a question. So you're not in faith. Why has it not happened yet? That's a question. So you're not in faith. Now, this is according to the dictionary. If you can't believe in dictionary, the dictionary says it's an unquestioning belief. Now, the dictionary actually indicates, in a higher power, normally people say God. Unquestioning belief in God. And how hard is it not to question God? If you're someone, I understand questioning, maybe your friends, questioning your roommates, questioning your wife, questioning your husband, but this is God. Amen. This is God. I know my God's able. In fact, you probably sang about that. My God is able. My God, we sing songs all the time about how our God's able and how this, and then trust in him. But see, you have to trust in him. And a lot of times people don't, and this is the one thing that my grandfather was so good and why they call him the father of the modern day faith movement is because he got healed from this scripture right here. He began to point that you, the average individual Christians, need to believe God for themselves. Because in a generation before mine or older generation, it was more, you come to the pastor, let the pastor pray. And it was all about putting your faith in the pastor. And sometimes even when we read like the one with the issue of blood, she came to Jesus and touched Jesus. Sometimes we put the pastor in Jesus' place. Well, when you come to the pastor, no, it's not about the pastor, it's about you. The whole Bible is about you. In fact, Paul tells us, you can do all things. Or he says, I can do all things, but also you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. All right? So it's about you. It's not about the pastor. It's about you and God or you and Jesus. It's about what Jesus did for you. It's about you having the mind of Christ. And I get it. Sometimes on the outside, it won't look like there's any difference. But the Bible says that man looks at outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And sometimes we won't feel any different. Sometimes it doesn't seem like things are changing. Sometimes you feel that it's not, but it's not about you feeling. Because faith is more than a feeling. See, hope is a feeling. Hope is actually, according to Webster's New World Dictionary as well, hope is a feeling that what is wanted will happen. Because see, before I had Google, I had Webster's New World Dictionary. That's what I kept in my briefcase because I got it whenever I went to Oklahoma State University. I went and got, I applied for a credit card. I got the credit card. The credit card didn't do a whole lot of good for me, except for got me in trouble. Probably didn't need the credit card, didn't want to be making that much money. But, because I was a student and I was working on my education, that they gave me more credit than I probably should have had. And thank God for a long time I didn't get in trouble because I didn't really use it a lot when I was going to school because my parents, you know, helped me go to school. It was after I got out of school, I got in trouble with my credit card because, you know. But I got this dictionary, and so whenever I, you know, got out of school, I threw up my dictionary. I had in my briefcase, I had this dictionary, and I had a Strong's Concordance. All right, and a couple other books as well. But I always carried those two things because before Google, I figured the only thing I do is look up a dictionary because don't. I mean, you know, I mean, I guess you could go to an encyclopedia, but I, you know, to carry an encyclopedia would be a whole lot of stuff. All right. And plus, you know, I always love, you know, how many had encyclopedias at home? Anyone have encyclopedias? I always love it whenever they had the books, you know, came in after, you know, the ones you have that actually correct some of the things in the encyclopedia, but you don't know it's correct until you actually go to read some of the other books. But unlike most people, I actually get the other books out and read some of the stuff in the other books to see what was corrected in the books that I had before. That's all, you know, the days I was bored. I literally did. I mean, which, you know, I was a weird kid, I guess, you know. I don't know. I mean, you know. But then I go back and read what it actually said and read, you know. I just was curious. I've always been curious about things. You know, I always want to know how things work and stuff like that. And see, you know, that also, when we're curious sometimes, it also will hinder our faith because we're like, well, that can't, you can't, it can't happen. There's no way. But praise God, you know, as a young age, I also was, you know, in faith meetings and, you know, and I understood, you know what, it didn't. Well, I think it helped to know that there's no way my grandfather was going to make it till he's 20 years of age. And he did. He did. I mean, you know, one of the greatest testimonies, Charlotte Edwards, she's not here tonight. When she comes right to church right here. She was given up to die in like 1977 or 1979. I think they said she had like 2 weeks. You realize how many years have gone by since the 70s? You know how many clothing styles have gone in and gone out since the 70s? And some of them are coming back again, all these kind of things. I mean, it's a long time ago. I mean, you imagine that. You were given up to die in the 70s. And you're still here alive today. I mean, that's awesome. But that's our God. But it starts with a desire. It starts with a desire. And the desire, you know, just because you want something doesn't mean you desire it. God's a good God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person here tonight. And we thank you. Help us to understand that you love us. And you sent your son to die on the cross for us. And because of what he did on Calvary, you know, we can be healed. We can be blessed. Because he came, that we can live life and have it more abundantly. And Father God, help us to understand whenever we're going through times, when it seems impossible, help us understand that you will bring it to pass. If we'll put our trust in you, if we put our faith in you, if we believe in you, it will come to pass, Father. And Father, we just thank you right now for each and every person that's here. But we thank you if someone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place without the saving knowledge of him. So if you're here tonight and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus. I've never been saved and I want to tonight. Lift your hand. We want to pray with you. I believe everyone here is saved. But you know what? I always want to give an opportunity. Give an opportunity. So if someone here tonight says, I'm not saved. Father God, I don't see any hands, but we thank you if anyone is here. We thank you for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis. And we thank you that they will become saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Let's all stand up. Before we go, if you're here tonight and you need healing in your body, if you've been sick and you need healing in your body and you want us to lay hands on you, come down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. Amen. Anybody else need healing? I don't care if it's a big thing or a small thing. Amen. God doesn't want you to have a cold. He didn't want you to have asthma. He didn't want you to have allergies. You know, someone told me the other day, we're coming on up to allergy season. Here's the thing. You know what? Some of you need to quit having allergy season. Decide the allergy season doesn't exist in your life. You say, but everyone else is getting the allergies. I don't care because the Bible says you can have what you say you can have. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Father God, right now in the name, oh, that's it right there. That's it right there. That's it right there. The healing power of God is flowing in your body from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we thank you now for the healing power of God flowing into her body. That's it right there. That's it right there. That's it right there. That's it right there. Be healed now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Is it for you? All right. Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank... Oh, there it is. There it is. There it is. Be healed now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. If you're a first-time visitor, we're so glad to have you tonight. We have the Connection team, and they actually have some stuff for you, have a gift for you. They want to take you right now, take you back and give you some stuff. We thank you for coming. We're right here every Sunday night, 6 p.m. Amen. Amen. Don't forget this week to continue to pray for Mom and Dad and the Crusade team. Like I said, you know, Dad's been dealing with some physical issues, and so just believe God that he'll have strength to be able to do what God called him to do. Amen. Well, you know, the way we dismiss around here, I'll be back at the door to shake your hand. Like I said, if you don't want to shake my hand, there's plenty of other doors you can go out. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next week.